This is what life is all about. And Dogen Zenji talks about this. And he said, birth and death. See, this is the life of the Buddha. But do we grasp this? Or do we struggle? See, are we trapped? See, in the rigid mind. Now here again, at the hazy moon in the last week, and when we were in our three-day session, I quoted the Buddha in talking about how you actualize practice, how you bring the practice to fruition. And in addressing the assembly, and I'm assuming it was probably a relatively small assembly, he said, you are unique. He said, you are a very special group. And essentially, he said, here I paraphrase Wallace, he said, you are a caring group. You are a helpful group. See? And I said to the people at the Sesshin, it was a small Sesshin, I said, I can say that about the hazy moon. See? We are an exceptional group. See? This is a sitting group. This is a group that truly tries to practice, see, compassion, care, see, and selfless love for others. See, it is true. But as the Buddha said, and yet there is something that is still lacking. See, there is still something that hasn't been realized. And then those of you who are with me, I quoted from Mizumi Roshi. See? And when you think in terms of the effort you put in, see? The effort you put in. See, and some of you, see, are really heavily invested. Oh, do you know how much time I have put in? Do you know how much time I have come to the hazy moon? Do you know how much time? My wife once said that to Roshi. She said, Roshi, Nyogen has given everything, see, to his practice. And Roshi's response was, not quite. See, not quite. And then in his talk that I quoted of his, he said, you can make an effort of 70%, 80%, 90%. See? And you are still trapped in separation. He said it is that final 10%, see, that makes the difference. That final 10% is the difference. Up until there, you are trapped in the dualistic mind, you are trapped in separation. See, and think about how you were sitting here this morning. You were sitting on working on a practice. See, and Roshi said, so long as that observer is sitting there observing your activity, you are in separation. See, how do I accomplish this final 10%? See, that's the difficult part. See, and it calls for continuous practice. And how many of you actually want to engage in continuous practice, see? But it's absolutely necessary. Continuous practice is absolutely necessary. But do you even know what continuous practice is? See? Well, I've got to shave my head and wear a funny costume, see? Or I have to leave the family, see? And I got after somebody this week about home leaver and practice, see? And I said, that's not what a home leaver is. That's been, see, the misunderstanding by not just scholars, but by practitioners, see, who can only grasp things through the intellect, see, through conceptual thought. See, a home leaver, see, simply means that you free yourself, see, from the discriminating consciousness that keeps you buried in the nest of your schizophrenic, ordinary life. Leave that home. And that's what practice, only practice will accomplish this. So long as you are content to sit and hold fantasies about it, see, holding on, believing that your thoughts, See, your fantasies, your dreams, see, are somehow transforming your life into something other, see, than a shadow world. See, the problem is we do live in a fantasy world, see. We live in a fantasy world where we rigidly hold on to everything, see. Rigidly hold on to everything. That you live in a fantasy world. But, oh no, but it's real. See, it's really real. See, yes, that person who did this thing to me. I came out of a fairly difficult, but again, only in relationship to myself. See, part of it, I was never hungry. I was always clothed. All of my medical needs were met. And if I would have wanted to pursue, see, a career course, my parent was willing to pay for it. If I wanted to do the ultimate, see, go to law school, not just any law school, top flight law, see. So I actually had a very comfortable life. A lot of little kids don't have that. But also, there were some very difficult things there that caused a distortion in my own life and in my sister's lives. See, it isn't just looking at myself that I can say, ah, something wasn't functioning right there. See, but I can look, and my sisters can talk about it. See? But again, see, I can rigidly hold, and particularly, see, when I have limited experience of my parents' lives. See? Only what they told me. It isn't my experience. See, but if I could free myself from my own service to self, and if I could hear them trying to express their lives, wow, they did a pretty damn good job giving where they have come from. See, but trapped, see, in how it is. See, holding, see, my parents accountable. See, talking about a parent, rigidly fixed. They changed. Soko told me, we sat on Lake Powell. See, and one night, we went with the whole family. I had have a second cousin who leads fishing excursions, and we had houseboats and all of this. See, and Soko said that my mother attempted to apologize to my sister and myself, and we couldn't hear her. See, we couldn't hear her. See, we can't hear. See, we rigidly hold on to how we think things are. See, we think bad is always bad. See, we think good is always good. We don't recognize constant change. See, if you realize, see, and I'm going to try to push this again, see, if you realize, see, that everything is in constant change and there is only the eternal now, see, everything is in constant change. Nothing is rigidly fixed except the eternal now. And you cannot put definitions on it. See, you cannot define it because it has no characteristics. If you could do that, you would put it into a subject-object relationship, and you cannot have that relationship to the eternal now. But what you can do as you look out, you can begin to appreciate constant change. And if I rigidly try to hold somebody, see, to what I believe was some kind of past experience, whose mind am I freezing? My own. I said that, I thought. See, if you're holding like this to a past, that's an illusion that you can't even prove occurred. Who is rigidly fixated? You. And you will never break through. This is a very difficult thing because we're heavily invested in this. See, of holding on. And it is this holding on, this rigidly holding on to fantasies. Oh, Nyogen, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do. I know very clearly what I'm talking about here. See, Masumi Roshi pointed out that thinking is an abstraction. And we have to be very careful, and I will get into this a little bit further on. She said, thinking is an abstraction. It's not being. See, I was just talking to somebody earlier today. Sorry for it took a little longer, but see, you understand that I can sit here and talk about the great ocean, and I can talk about waves, and I can describe all of the characteristics of the wave, and if I had enough of a scientific background, I could tell you about all of the structure. But you do understand that that's not a wave. There are koans that deal with that. Do you understand that I can sit here and I can tell you about a rose? I can tell you about the vivid color. I can tell you about the intoxicating scent. But I can't prick my finger on the thorn of a rose. Because that isn't a rose. That's me playing in my head. And we do that all of the time. See, that is the reason we keep ourselves trapped. See, in pain and suffering. Roshi said thinking is an abstraction. It's not being. See, it is thinking about being. Get this? It is thinking about being. Your practice. Were you sitting there? See, thinking about counting your breath? Thinking about following your breath? Thinking about a koan? See, that's not practice. That's thinking about practice. That's the problem. That's why you're not making that ultimate breakthrough. What did Roshi say? 70%, 80%, 90%. It's still in the state of separation. Now, let me be very clear here. If you even put in 10% of sitting, of trying to concentrate, trying to calm the mind down, you will gain. See, this practice is not a hustle. It is real. To whatever degree you are willing to commit yourself, it will return. See, it will return. It will reward. See, when I first started with Roshi, one of the first things, I used to say this all the time, and I haven't for a number of years, I think. One of the first things Roshi told me, and maybe the first doksan, he said, Bill, if you give it a day, it will return a day. He said, give it a month, and it will return a month. He said, give it a year, and it will return a year. He said, but if you give it a lifetime, it will return more than a lifetime. See, I actually, when I heard that, I'm not sure that he said time. I think he simply said, give it a life, and it will return more than a life. That, where I'm at now, is the most accurate statement. See, so whatever effort you put in, it's not a waste of time. And then it comes back to this thing that I have talked about. What is your aspiration? See, and again, look at that carefully. No self-deception. Because if you cannot be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anything. Because then you don't see this. See? And don't make the mistake of thinking that you can conceptualize what I have just said and what I have just gestured. See? Roshi said, and since we are born, it's not being, it's thinking about being. And since we are born and die 7,000 times in 1 second, the conditions that we think about are already gone. See, do you see that? Again, because of your rigidly held belief system, you don't believe there is constant change. See, but we rigidly hold to things don't change. See? Roshi said, the conditions that we think about are already gone. We are thinking about shadows rather than being this very life itself. See, that's the difference. True practice isn't you sitting there thinking about counting your breath. See, there is only counting the breath. There is only breathing. See, there is only the manifestation of a koan. You will never truly answer koans while you are sitting there working on a koan. See, when you become the koan, and that's what Roshi would say over and over again. I might say to him, how is this done? How is that? He said, Nyogen, just be the koan. Just be the koan. Easy to say that, but not so easy to do. And yet, it can be done. And when we do that, see, a transformation takes place.